Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Blake Sartini II, the Senior Vice President of Distributed Gaming for Golden Entertainment, about his path to gaming and how he was influenced by the family business. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the nation's leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos in North America. Don't think I'll ever get enough. If there is a royal family tree in gaming, the Fertitta Sartini families would be it. And Blake Sartini II would be the crown prince. The son of Golden Entertainment chairman and founder Blake Sartini and Delise Fertitta, the sister of station casino leaders Frank and Lorenzo Fertitta, Sartini II has been raised in gaming. But things haven't been easy for him just because he's related. He worked his way up through the company, starting as a bartender and doing many jobs along the way. Today, Sartini handles the route operations for Golden, which means the PT, Sierra, Gold, and other brands in a Nevada chain of over 70 bars and pubs, as well as a growing business in Montana. He spoke with me at the Golden offices in Las Vegas in October on the occasion of his being named one of the 40 under 40 in the November issue of the magazine. Upside down with a perfect view, bought a bar at the speed of sound, fancy feet dancing through this town. Blake Sartini, thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast. It's good to see you. We've never met before, so I'm glad we can finally get together. The company is very impressive, and the expansion that's going on in this company is pretty amazing. So I'm glad we could get together. So let's start from you being named one of our 40 under 40. You come from a family of gaming royalty, pretty much. While that probably gives you an advantage, it's probably challenges that come along with that too. So tell us about how you were introduced to the industry and how you got into this position.
Sure. Well, first, I'm honored to be named one of the 40 under 40. So appreciate the time today.
Sure.
Gaming's been, I can remember gaming from as far back as I can remember. It's always been around the family. It's always the topic of conversation anytime everybody's around. It was always more casino related back when I was younger. And as I got more to the college after I graduated, my dad started Golden Gaming at the time, which was the taverns and the routes. And I was involved in that when I came back in the summertime. I would either work on the slot route where I'd bartend at one of the taverns. So I was kind of ingrained in that as early on as Golden Gaming started. But I always had a passion for the distributed side. I always was around the casino, and always had understood kind of how the casinos operated and things like that. But I always liked the personable touch that the distributed side always offered. So I always was kind of gravitated more towards the distributed side.
So I imagine your father obviously had a huge influence on your career, but did you have other mentors when you were coming up, people that were influences on you?
No question. I didn't immediately jump into gaming right out of college. I did spend some time with the UFC. Worked for them over in London for about 16 months, and also worked for them here in Las Vegas. And I'd met some amazing people over there. I'd worked from a gentleman who was the CMO over there. His name was Brian Johnson. He was very influential to me. I worked for Burton Snowboards. I worked for Nike Golf, and he was just a very he just had a brilliant mind, and always was willing to offer so much knowledge to me and kind of how to get started. And obviously, Steve Arcana, our COO today. Obviously, he's been with not only Golden Entertainment for the last 16 years, but my father hired him on Station Casinos even earlier than that. I think he was always been kind of in an awkward situation, with having putting me in my position and always having to be my direct report. I think he's handled that with a lot of, I give him a lot of respect for not only handling that situation with such class, but also being able to offer a lot of, me quite a bit of, pointing me in the right direction.
Great. So it sounds like you learned the business from the ground up.
Yeah.
Starting in the bartender side. And so how does that help you today when you're overseeing all the route operations?
We ask these people behind the bar to do so much for us. Whether it be offering great customer service experience or making sure they're pitching one of our beverage specials or asking them to sign up a gamer behind the bar. You know, when you sit in this office and you say, okay, how can we get our guests engaged in so many of the different aspects that we're trying to get them engaged in, you immediately put it on the bar host and
sure,
behind the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not having been behind the bar, you don't realize how much it is to remember or what a burden that may be on their actual job, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I really tried to put myself in their shoes, having been there not nearly as long as some of these people have, but, you know, just have somewhat of an experience behind the bar. And, you know, understanding that, you know, every time we add something more to the responsibility, it takes away from the core of what we want them to do, which is to offer great gaming experience, great customer service experience, and be a great bar host behind the bar.
Okay. So a bartender has to be much more than just a bartender in your operations. They're a host, a slot tech, I imagine, to a certain extent, too.
Yeah, I mean, they are the player hosts within those locations, right? I mean, they're the greeter, they're the player host, they're the bar host. You know, sometimes they are, the janitor. You know, whatever it is, whatever the offer is needing to be done at those locations, those are the first people to jump up and do it.
Okay, great. So, what makes a slot machine in a tavern different than a slot machine in a casino?
You know, there's really not much differentiation between the two. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the biggest would be is that in the state of Nevada, they're all bar top machines.
Sure,
I would say we probably, the 8,000 machines that we have on the route, I would say probably 85% of those are bar top games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's traditionally something you don't see on a big casino floor. Usually it's more stand up slant top games. But, you know, I think, you know, our industry caters more to a very social gaming experience, which is where the bar top machines, I think, influence that, whereas the slant top or stand-up machines probably more introverted experience in casinos.
Right, okay. So how involved are you with, like, the tavern amenities, the food and beverage, and the atmosphere and all of that kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm 100% directly responsible for all of those. I oversee the taverns from the top to bottom, from the gaming to the food and beverage to the personnel to the facilities. I take a lot of pride in that, and that's something that, you know, I see to on an everyday basis.
Right.
So, you know, always involved in the food costs, beverage costs, menu creation, drink menu creation. We're sitting through the 2018 beverage plan for next year. So involved in everything, kind of soup to nuts on the tavern side.
So you've got a lot of different brands under your leadership here, starting with PT's and you know, Sean Patrick's and the Sierra Gold, and now you just opened the new one up in near Red Rock up there.
SG Bar,
which I'm very impressed with. You know,
good.
I really enjoyed that. The food there was amazing. So,
yeah, good.
How do you really join all those things together? Because they're all at different levels and probably different service requirements and things.
I mean, they're different price points.
Right.
I think would be the biggest difference across the board. You know, obviously we try to be everything to everybody, and having the vehicle to do that is by the different brands. But I think what ties everything together is, you know, obviously we try to keep a consistent customer service aspect across the board. But, you know, we took a page out of some of the strip casinos. You know, the MGM has multiple brands along the strip, but they tie all the brands together through their Players Club. And that's really what we've tried to do with all of our brands is, yes, we might have different brands, different price points, different things for different people, but we always tie our food and beverage program and our gaming program back to our rewards card.
Okay, great. You must be really busy, though. What are you opening, 7 properties this year?
Yeah, we're opening 7 properties. We got 3 left for this year. So, and then we'll turn it back on for 2018, which I think we have 6 on the dock before next year, trying to work on a 7th. You know, we got the route in Montana as well that we're continuing to expand up in that state. Quite a few different distributed opportunities throughout the United States.
Sure.
You know, we just got licensed in Illinois in 2017, and the state of Pennsylvania is still stuck in legislative sessions trying to figure out if they're going to allow the BGTs for this upcoming year.
So will you be, you're involved in Montana right now, and you would be in any other
state? As the Senior Vice President of Distributed Gaming, I directly oversee all of the taverns here in the state of Nevada, the route, both north and south, southern Nevada, the route, all of Montana as well. I get there probably once a month, maybe twice a month, depending on what's going on, and also overseeing the opportunities that may be coming our way from a distributed perspective.
Okay. So how is it different in Montana? Because you're not the owners of those taverns up there. You don't control everything that goes on inside. How is that different than what you do here in Nevada?
You know, we also have a route business here in Nevada. We're the largest owner operator here in Nevada. So it's very similar in that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
know, there's some differentiation up there. You know, you're able to have 20 machines in a location up there, whereas here you're able to have 15. You know, you're much more handcuffed on what you can do from a player reward standpoint. You know, you don't have a carded reward system, things like that. But again, you know, the route, in my opinion, you know, the route industry is the biggest competitive advantage are, one, in your relationships with your customers, and two, with the service that you can provide.
Right.
And I think those are the two you know, key points that we strive for in Montana, just a lot like we do down here.
Okay. So you know, before you go into a relationship in Montana, you make sure they have those, they meet those service points and things.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of that's on us as a team up there, you know, and we're very lucky. We've inherited a great team up there.
Right.
We continue to try to give them more tools for them to be more aggressive from a business standpoint. But I think that's 100%. Yeah, you know, we share that same passion for customer relations up there.
Right. And I guess you have to be aware of all the regulations up there. Are there vastly different regulations?
Yeah, there are. It is a little bit different, too. Yeah, there is one of the biggest, most upfront restrictions is there's a bet limit and a win limit. You're able to bet $2 at a time, max.
Right.
And win $800 max at one time. Right. So, you know, other than that, there really isn't, you know, it's not 24 hours, right? Everything has to be shut off by 2 o'clock up there. But, you know, between the betting and the hours of operation, I would say everything's relatively similar. There, you know, there's a lot of keno, a lot of video poker, same great type of game.
Let's talk about the Golden Entertainment Loyalty Program.
Sure. I mean,
you know, that's been pretty unique. I mean, I have my PT's card in my wallet here. So how has that developed over the years, and where are you now with that?
Yeah, so it's a proprietary system. We kind of inherited that back in 2003 when we first got started. And because it's proprietary, we've been able to continue to add on to that system as we've needed. And I can honestly sit here and say that's the only system used in distributed gaming in Nevada that's been cultivated in distributed gaming establishments.
Right.
So it's really right size for taverns, grocery stores, C stores, and the Nevada market, because you know we've made sure that everything fits those types of bet limits, those types of players. So, you know, one of the big components that we're continuing to add to it is transparency to the reporting. Right? We want to have a great back-end reporting system so you can run all your reports that you're able to run at the location on your personal phone, on your tablet, on your home computer. We want to bring that whole operating system to you as a location owner, wherever you may be. We also want to continue to add more exciting bonusing features as well. You know?
Okay, right.
In the taverns, there's not a lot that you know can really get entice a player, but we think different bonusing opportunities can definitely entice a new player. So we're always working on new bonusing items as well.
Let's talk about employees. I mean, I'm sure you oversee a lot of employees in your company, but they're all in unique locations. There's probably, 20 or 30 of them at any one time in each place?
Yeah, it's a good guess. So we probably average about 17 team members per location. You know, we have some 8 up to 40 at some, right? So that round number is probably about 17, 18.
So they're probably, you know, finely honed teams in some places and other places that maybe not so.
You know,
how do you keep a handle on all that?
So, you know, luckily we have a very good vice president of tavern operations that is a guy I rely a lot on that for. I think we do a very good job of training the staff as we get them in these new locations. You know, most of the time, though, we get people in locations and it becomes kind of their home. You don't even have too much turnover from a front of house perspective. But I'll tell you where we're trying to get better is we open 7 locations, 6 locations next year. You know, every single time we put a new manager or we put a new management staff in these new locations, it's a domino effect for 7 others
as we
try to play catch up as we move management. So we're really trying to figure out how to build a better bullpen from a manager's perspective, and I think we're doing a good job at that. But I think that's something we're going to strive to get better for in 2018.
Well, it's a good thing to work for your company. Then there's a lot of opportunity for
advancement. There's a lot of growth opportunity. You know, and now with the American Casino acquisition coming on board here, hopefully at the end of October, it's going to provide a lot of opportunity for people that have been in the tavern industry for a long period of time to, you know, that glass ceiling is kind of lifted now. Now there's going to be opportunity for people to move to the Stratosphere, to the Arizona Charlies, to maybe even Aquarius. I mean, there provides a lot of opportunity for team members that have kind of worked a parallel path with some of these new ventures.
Great. All right, so one last question. What kind of advice do you have for young people who are trying to work their way up in your company or any part of the industry? What do you think is the most important thing that they should pay attention to?
You know, I think it should always stay in front of the developing, do developments within the industry,
right?
You know, I've kind of looked at distributed gaming as kind of being that kind of that cutting edge of gaming going forward. It's something that I see on myself as a young guy getting involved. I said, you know, I think I can do a good job at that. I think I can kind of get out ahead of everybody. If I learn this and I need to get to know this, this is going to provide a real path for myself aside from the casino aspect of it. And I see these things popping up all the time in the gaming industry, whether it be sports betting, whether it be online gaming,
right?
Whether it be, you know, play for fun gaming. You know, I think there's things out there that I think as a kind of a millennial, you can kind of identify. And if you get yourself, you know, kind of really intimate with whatever that is, you can really have a competitive advantage with guys that have been in the casino industry for a long period of time because, you know, it's kind of branching out to new opportunities. And if you can get in front of those new opportunities, I think that's a good place to start a career.
Sure, great. Well, Blake, again, congratulations on being named one of the 40 under 40. I've looked back, we've been doing this for about 7 or 8 years now, and the people who we first named are some of the biggest leaders in the industry, so we think you'll be up there as well in just a few years.
Well, again, I appreciate the being honored, and I look forward to what the future has.
Great. Well, stay in touch with you. I try to stand. I lost a bet to a guy in a chiffon skirt. But I make these high heels work. We hope you enjoyed this edition of the GGB Podcast, brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos in North America. To learn more about the gaming industry, visit GGBMagazine.com, or for a weekly update, visit GGBNews.com. Follow us on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, or on LinkedIn and Facebook at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.